Am I on? Hello. Good evening. How's everyone doing tonight? Couple people? Okay. That's good. Well, that is an overview of my summer. In the Bible, it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent. There's a prayer I often pray, Lord, make me a coin in your pocket and spend me any way you want. Be careful if you pray that prayer, because I can guarantee you that He will be faithful to answer it. I don't really have a message title for my message tonight, but the name Jesus sounds really good, so I'm going to use that. You know, in Sunday school, they ask what the answer is of something and say, I don't know, but it sure sounds like Jesus. Before I was coming up here, I felt like the Lord prompted me to just kind of share a little bit about my testimony and how I came to know the Lord. How many of you have heard my testimony? One person. Good. Well, I'm just going to give you a real brief overview, and then I'm going to go right into what I feel like the Lord has shared with me for the body of Christ. I got saved in November of 2003. Prior to getting saved, I had lost my job. My car broke down, and pretty much all my friends deserted me. I was in a cabin at the top of Lazy Mountain, and I was very depressed. I had no idea of where to go with my life. I had been working at the Native Medical Center here in Anchorage. I was making about between $14 and $18 an hour. They asked me to resign against my will. So I found myself at the top of Lazy Mountain, contemplating life and wanting to know what I was going to do with it. My passion at that time was the medical field, but that had ended. I had a 9mm pistol. Over the years growing up, I had contemplated suicide many times. And that day, I thought it might be a good idea to see what it was like to put the pistol in my mouth. I emptied the chamber. I was smart enough to do that. I took the magazine out of the pistol and set it on the counter across from me and began to think about whether or not someone was going to be able to find me when, and most importantly, where I would go. So I sat and I contemplated and put the gun in my mouth, and it was a very bitter taste. And the enemy began to speak to me and told me to take my life. Just do it. You're worthless. You don't amount to anything. Nobody wants you. And somehow came to my senses and put the gun back down and got in the truck that I had at the time and said, I'm going to church. On the way to church, the enemy began to speak to me again. Tell me, why don't you just flip your truck? Just, you know, what if I just flip my truck? And it's almost like I began to manifest. It was like a demon that was inside of me or against me, trying to get me to do something that I didn't want to do. And I remember praying the whole time. I said, God, you have to do something in my life. Now, I had known God growing up, but I didn't know him in his true image. I went to church and I got saved. Shortly after that, I was in a daycare center for about 4 months and I worked with kids. Again, something that I felt like the Lord at that time wanted me to do, but I didn't want to do. So it was kind of this whole releasing control thing. A couple years later, I met Randy Clark. I applied to go to the school, and I've been at the school for a year, and I'm back here, and I leave tomorrow. So that's kind of the gist of my testimony. When I came to Alaska, I began to seek the Lord for what He had for this region. I do not claim to be a prophet, although the Bible says in John 10:27, I believe, the sheep know me and they hear my voice. Bah. So the Lord began to take me into a vision, and I said, Lord, what do you have for this region? And He began to show me a well. Now, in Genesis 26:15, it talks about Isaac digging wells. And the Philistines are there, and they're envious of him. God has blessed him, has favored his life. And he digs a well, and they try to cover it up with dirt. How many of you know in life, in general, when we gave our heart to the Lord, when you give your heart to Jesus, he digs, he drills a well inside of you. Are you with me? Okay. So Jesus puts a well inside of us, a dwelling place for Him to reside inside of us. What's in a well? Water. What does the water represent? The Holy Spirit. A place for the Holy Spirit to dwell with inside of us. A place that the water or the Holy Spirit can flow through our lives freely. Now, I was preaching the same message just last week, and the Lord began to give me revelation of how those wells get stopped up. And it's like when we get offended at something, that offense goes in the well. When something happens and we become afraid, that fear goes in the well. When someone cuts you off on the road and you curse them or you think bad thoughts about them. I was there yesterday. It's like a little drop, just a little drop. See, if the enemy came at us full force, we'd be like, oh, that's a blatant attack. But what he likes to do is he likes to sneak in just a little bit at a time, just creep at our heart, just get us to turn against each other, and the next thing you know, our well stopped up, our prayer life is like almost non-existent, and the next thing you know, we're just like, what is going on? I was like on fire for God like just last week, and now I don't even like want to go to church. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. chapter 22, verse 17. It's talking about the river of life. It says in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month." That's prophetic. "The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. See, when I went to that scripture, the Lord began to show me, he showed me his heart. He said, "Paul, what I want is, I want my body to come into that season where there's constant fruitfulness in their lives. It's no longer going to be a season of, oh, well, sister, brother, I'm in a season where, I'm in a wilderness season and, you know, God's not speaking to me. I'm kind of experiencing the dark night of the soul. And, the Lord's just testing me in this area." And he very well may be. But what I feel like the Lord wants us to walk into is a constant season where we're constantly being blessed. Fruit is constantly being released from our life, and that when it comes to testimonies, it's not going to be like, "Oh, so what's the Lord doing in your life? You know, what anything cool happening?" And it's not going to be like, "Well, let me see here for a second." It's going to be like, "You wouldn't believe what happened." And you're like, "Oh, what, last week?" No, today. Like, I have so many testimonies of what God has done that I'd have to take like 2 hours or something. Let's go have coffee. Let's go have dinner. And I just feel like that's what the Lord's heart really is for this region, is that we come into a season where we're just like, "You wouldn't believe what God's doing in my life." And it's not going to just be one person. It's going to be like everybody. That's a good word. That's one of my favorite lines. Chris Valentin from Bethel. He says that a lot, and it is a good word. Now, the second word that I had actually came in a dream. And in the dream, I was in a meeting setting, and there was bread all over the place. It was like coming from the sky. It was in the room. It was like fresh. And I was like, "Oh, bread." And I was like, "Lord, what is this?" And he's like, "Manna." I'm like, "What is manna?" I'm like, "Okay, well, let's see. Israelites. Provision." In Exodus chapter 16, what do? They go out and they gather manna. What are you doing today? Gathering manna. And they gathered manna for 6 days, and on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. What are we having today? Manna. They had fried manna. They had baked manna. They had microwave manna. Maybe. Maybe not. And so, also, I felt like the Lord was saying is, manna was also provision. God's word. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Verse 17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, that is prophetic. And it's in red, which means Jesus is speaking. "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat." Say manna. "And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name will be a new name written, which no one knows except for him who receives it." Now, even though this is kind of a different message, the white stone represents identity. right now, for some time, heaven and hell are asking the body of Christ the same question. Hell is asking, who do you think you are? And heaven is asking, who do you think you are? And see, I feel like God is wanting to bring revelation, fresh manna from heaven, of our identity in Christ and understanding of who God is. God's love, His nature, and what He has for our life. In April, Bob Jones, who's a prophet, came to our school. And he prophesied in April, a day or two after we were there with him, that stones were going to begin to fall from heaven. And that the stones were going to be blue, and then it's going to be God's revelation just about Him and His nature. And so I took that, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take that. And since then, I'll be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I'll read a scripture verse or something, and I'll just be kind of meditating on it. And next thing I know, I'll be like, whoa, that means that? Wow. And it's just like, it's not like ultimate revelation, but it's like, it draws me deeper into digging into God's Word. I had a third word. Again, it came in a dream. And this has probably become one of the most strongest words that I felt from the Lord for the body of Christ. And in the dream, I am going down the road and I come to a stoplight and the light is red. And two people go zipping by me really fast. And they almost get sideswiped by like a semi. And they just barely, by the grace of God, make it through the light. And because I've kind of changed from the way I live my life, from kind of fear to faith, I knew exactly what that meant for me. But being the person that I am, I like to try and pray and ask the Lord if He wants to tell me anything more. So I woke up from the dream. And I prayed, Lord, does that mean anything? And it was almost as like the Lord was waiting in anticipation of me asking the question. And I could almost hear the cry in His voice saying, I want you to tell my church to stop operating out of a red light. And I knew what that meant, but I was just like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, my body has been operating out of a red light, and I want them to operate out of a green light. What does that mean? Well, a lot of times what we do, and I'm right there with the statistics, and I go, well, I really want to go to the mission field, and I really feel called, but I'm not sure, and so I'm going to seek a prophetic word, or I'm going to wait for confirmation. And that's good. Confirmation is good. But sometimes I think what happens is we get too caught up in the confirmation, and we forget the original word that God spoke to us. Whew, that is a good word. That just came to me. Thank you, Lord. So, the confirmation comes, but we still seek more confirmation. How many confirmations do we need? When I went to Brazil, this is going to sound really bad. Before I went to Brazil, I first was like, hey, that sounds good. 200 youth, be part of leadership team, don't have to pay any expenses except for my plane ticket. Okay, I can do that. It's like, Lord, if you want me to go, just, you know, speak to me in dream or vision or give me a prophetic word or something, you know, whatever. And so I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm in Brazil again. Now, I went to Brazil in September, and I was in a city called Fortaleza. Well, in the dream, I was in Fortaleza. So I was like, I wonder if that means I'm supposed to go to Brazil. Okay, well, let me just seek again. So, again, I'm praying. I'm like, well, Lord, you know, that sounds like I'm supposed to go to Brazil. So, I'm going to go unless you say otherwise. Green light to red light. I'm going unless you tell me to stop. What is the Bible? The Bible says in, I believe, the book of Psalms that a man makes his path, but the Lord orders his footsteps, something like that. So I'm going, and unless something happens or the Lord says, oh, go over here, I'm going. I have orders from the Lord. There's a saying, go with your, if you don't know what to do, fall back on your last orders. I think that's true for like the military, or I don't know. But so unless you hear otherwise, do what you already know, what the Lord said. So I'm going, and it's like like a GPS. How many of you know what a GPS is? Okay. It's probably a good thing to have here in Alaska. So a GPS, I've seen one, but I've never operated one. And with the GPS, you punch in your coordinates of where you are, and then you type in your coordinates of where you want to go. Now, I can be here, and my destination may be over there, but I don't know that until I start going. And the arrow is pointing this way. And so when I start walking, the moment I take that step, it calculates where I am and says, oh, you don't want to go there, you want to go there. Oh, okay, whoop, over here, and off I go. That is what I basically feel like the Lord is saying. Just trust me, let me guide you by my hand and show you where I want you to go, and you'll get there in time. James chapter 1, verse 22 talks about being not just hearers of the word, but doers. And when I met Ruby and Kasabian for the first time and we had that conversation, it's like, yeah, I think God has called me to a healing ministry and I believe I have the gift of healing. And he asked me that question, what are you doing with it? And I was like, ooh. I was like, open mouth, insert foot, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I was like, well, I go downtown and I give out water to the homeless. And I ask him if I can pray for him. He's like, that's good, but what else are you doing? I was like, nothing. It's like, But I did tell him, I said, well, I am going to Randy Clark's School of Supernatural Ministry, but that's not until next month. It's like, okay. So, be sensitive to hearing the Holy Spirit and let God direct your steps. Now what I'd like to do is I'd just kind of like to share with you kind of an overview of the last year of what I've been doing as far as testimonies go. Healing testimonies, things that I've seen. Mozambique, Guatemala, Brazil, Walmart, doctor's offices, banks, on the street. So, in November, I went to a conference for my school. And at the conference, I met a woman who came to me and said, hey, you're one of Randy Clark's School of Supernatural Ministry students. I said, yes, I am. And she said, can you pray for me? And I said, sure. What would you like prayer for? And she said, I have osteoporosis. And at that time, I was kind of like, you know, really good with my faith level. And I was like, I'm going to go for it, you know, see what happens. I've heard amazing testimonies. And so we start praying, and she starts feeling something in her body. And we can hear like a snap, crackle, pop. And she goes, something's happening. I can feel something. I was like, wow, that's really good. But initially when I started praying for her, she started laughing. And I said, okay. Well, laughter is a form of healing. So I was praying again. I was just like, Holy Spirit, come. Just fill her with your love. Touch her with your power. And heal her body. And I spoke to the condition. I said, command every bone, ligament, muscle, and tendon to come into alignment in Jesus' name. And it was like that. And she goes, wow, I think all the pain's gone. I was like, praise God. And she goes, yeah, my neck doesn't hurt anymore. And I said, your neck? I thought I was praying for osteoporosis. And she said, oh, yeah, you're praying for that too. But I had a severe neck problem, and I couldn't put my purse on it. I couldn't hold my purse, and it's been hurting me for some time. So it's like, how many of you know that God is so good that when you pray for one thing, He heals another? And you don't even have to ask for it. He's like overall physician, like, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong. Let's fix that, let's fix that. Oh, well, I'm here, let's, oh, okay. Kind of like an overhaul. And so pain leaves her neck, pain leaves her body, she's fine. I get an email like 6 months later from her. And she says, you're not going to believe this. I went to the doctor, and I don't have to take my medicine anymore because I don't have osteoporosis. I was like, wow, that's awesome. I was like, yeah, Jesus. Well, I come to Alaska in March, and Randy shares that testimony. In the crowd is a woman, and she comes to me during intermission, and she says, hey, I understand you were the gentleman that prayed for that lady who had osteoporosis. I said, yes, yes, that's correct. And not trying to be prideful or anything, but I was just like, yep, that's me. And she goes, well, I have osteoporosis. Would you pray for me? And she has heard Bill Johnson's teaching about the power of the testimony. Now, the Old Testament root word for testimony means do it again. So if you're committed to tell the testimony, God is committed to do it again. So she heard the testimony. She took it for herself. We prayed. 30 seconds. Jesus' name, be healed. I leave. 2 weeks later, she emails me and she says, you're not going to believe this. I went to the doctor to get my annual bone density scan test, which can only be performed one time a year. And she said, the doctor says my hip is growing out and that my measurements are up 1.3%. And you only prayed for me 2 weeks ago. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I wrote her back and said, thank you for sharing that. And so I left and I went to New York. Well, in New York, now I'm kind of walking around going, two people healed with osteoporosis. What are you doing, God? And I was just like, that's just the power of the testimony. It's not me, it's God. And so I get there and I said, Randy, these two women got healed of osteoporosis. If there's anyone here, you know, we were given words of knowledge, and I said, if there's anybody here that has osteoporosis, I would love to pray for them. I can't guarantee that they're going to be healed, but I would just love to pray for them. And he said, sure. And so he announces on God TV, which happened to be there, hey, this is Paul, one of my students, and shares his testimony real quick, and he's going to be right over there if you'd like to have prayer and if you have osteoporosis. Well, three women came up, and they all had osteoporosis. Now, I wasn't able to contact them and find out if they'd been healed, but when I prayed for them, They were all powerfully touched, and all the pain left their body. So I left there, and I came back to Pennsylvania, and we had a conference, and in the room was about 2,000 people. Now I'm really kind of strutting my stuff going, yep, I'm the osteoporosis guy. You got osteoporosis, you come to me, it's leaving. Because see, now I'm so confident in my God who heals today, saying, no, the sickness has to leave. Because I know that in heaven, there is no sickness. So, make that announcement. 25 people come forward. I'm like my own miniature Randy Clark. I have like 25 women lined up over here, and I got my own little healing line. And so I said, okay, Lord. And I just started going down, Lord, just like, fill more, be healed in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3, all the way down the line, boom, 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 boom. Almost every single person got knocked over, fell over, didn't get knocked over, fell over under the power of God. All the pain left them. Some of them, they're still sent me testimonies saying, I haven't felt any pain since the day you prayed for me, and it's been several months. And so I was like, wow, God, that is awesome. Well, I talked to Bob Jones about it, and he goes, oh, the Lord's giving you authority over it. I was like, okay. So that's one. When I was in Guatemala, I have a little sponsor child down there, and I visit her at least once a year. I consider her my spiritual daughter, and I'm speaking into her life. And I'm friends with pastor down there, and they're very open to the gifts of the Spirit and healing, but they've never experienced it. In Guatemala, there's a lot of there's healing that happens, but it's more like witchcraft and just kind of like, well, I'm not sure about the healing. So I don't think it really happens down there as far as like in the churches. Well, I go to the church service and I don't speak. I just tell the pastor, I said, I would like to pray for anybody who needs a miracle or healing in their body. And during his message, I get three words of knowledge. One of them is deafness in the right ear. Now, this is my first time by myself, in another country, opening myself up to be willing to pray for someone for a healing. There's no ministry team with me. I'm it. And about 15 people come forward, and the woman who has deafness in her right ear comes forward, and the pastor's wife says, this is a woman who the word of knowledge you called out. And I said, oh, okay, you know, I'd like to pray for her. And so I'm praying for her, and God's like really touching her. She's weeping. This has been on her heart for some time to be healed. And I'm praying for her, and I kind of look at the corner of my eye. I'm like, oh, I got like all these people to pray for, and I'm it. I'm the ministry team. So I was like, just pray for her, and I'll be right back. So I go down the line. I pray for everyone. Down the line, I find that my two other words of knowledge, people, and I pray for them, and they get touched, and I come back to her, and I learn through the prayer model, okay, check out what God's doing. So I ask her, how's it doing? How are you doing? And she says in Spanish, I can hear just a little bit. And I was like, oh, praise God. Let's pray again. But before I pray, I said, tonight, the Lord spoke to me and told me that he wanted to heal someone of deafness in the right ear. And as soon as she heard that, her faith elevated. And I prayed. I snapped my fingers. I commanded that ear to open in Jesus' name. And it opened up. I began to ask her, how long have you been deaf in this ear? And she says, 5 years. I was like, wow, that's amazing. So I encourage her. I said, share the testimony with the church. She shares the testimony with the church. everyone in the church, about 150 people, they all give glory to God and praise Jesus. I leave and I realize, wow, that's pretty good starting out on your own. But I was like, that's not me, that's still God. And so I come to find out that it's an evangelical free church. There's nothing wrong with that. They just don't move in healing yet. But now, maybe God's going to do something. Awesome, awesome pastor and his wife. Love them to death. Just, you know, can't wait to go back and see them. Another testimony real quick is while I was in Guatemala, I heard of a story of a girl who was in a severe accident. Now, when I share this story, a lot of people say, well, that's not really a testimony because she didn't get completely healed. Not true. You have to listen very carefully to her situation, her state, and when she left. Because when she left, you will see the miracle. Because I was even praying, I was like, Lord, I don't know if I even want to share that one because she didn't get healed. And I was like, well, she got healed, but not the way I wanted her to. And so the story is, kind of overview, is she's in the back of a truck, which is very common in Guatemala. And she's in the back of a truck, and they're going down a road very fast. And she's leaning over the side of the truck to talk to the driver, telling him, please slow down, please slow down. Well, the driver's still going, laughing, you know, not like he didn't care or anything, but he was just like, okay, you know, I'll slow down a bit, and then he starts picking up again. Well, around the corner is another truck, and with the other truck is sheets of metal in the bed of the truck. Now, mind you, she is leaning over like this, holding on to the car. Before she can move, the other truck comes and collides with her, grabs her by the side, rips open her entire side, I believe shatters her femur bone, and breaks her hip. She's about 14 years old. The doctor said, you will never walk again. You will be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, or you will use crutches. The dreams and the ambitions that you had, forget it. Do something else with your life. I'm sorry, you're just going to be handicapped. Oh, and because of the problems with the organs and everything, they had to put a colostomy bag in her, which, being in the medical field, is not a good thing to have at 14, let alone any age. So I said, I would like to pray for this girl. And my friend said, okay. We'll try to contact her before we leave. Well, the night before I leave, we get into the city, and my friend says, what would you like to do? And I said, I'd like to pray for that girl, if possible. I said, okay, we'll call her and see if she can come by the hotel or we can meet her somewhere. So about 8:30, 9 o'clock, she shows up in a taxi on crutches. I was like, okay, Lord, you know, no one down here has ever really seen like a huge miracle, and I'm just like, you know, show your power, show your love, you know, just put everything on display. And I felt kind of like he said, I'm going to kind of show off. I was like, I don't know, that might be me, I don't know. Either way, I talked to the girl, we spent about 45 minutes, she tells the story, she starts weeping, because I asked her a question, I said, have you forgiven the other driver? She starts weeping, my translator starts weeping, I start weeping, we're all weeping. It's like, this is horrible. And I just begin to say for the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what do you want to do? And I get testimonies of people who had a bone removed and a plate put in, and someone praying for her and God putting a bone in her leg and going back to the same doctor that took the bone out and put a plate in and saying, I don't know what happened, but that's impossible. You can't have a new bone in your body. He takes x-rays and says there's a new bone in your body. The plate's been removed and there's no way that the plate's been removed because there's no scar. So I remember that testimony. It wasn't me that was prayed for. It was one of the students. But the testimony, Psalm 119, 111 says, the testimony of the Lord is our inheritance forever. Every testimony that you hear, including the ones you hear on this tape and here tonight, are now yours. You can share them, and God's committed to do it again if you're willing to share the testimony. So, I share the testimony, and I said, I think God's going to put a new bone in your leg. And she's like, okay. And so I start praying for her, and I said, I want you to focus on your body, and I want you to tell me if anything happens, if you feel heat, if you feel tingling, electricity, anything. And not even 30 seconds goes by, I start praying, Holy Spirit, come. And she's like, Pam, something's happening. And Pam, my translator, she says, she's feeling heat and heaviness. I'm like, that's a good thing. And she's like, huh? And I started to explain to her, well, you know, the Lord likes to touch us sometimes, and usually it's heat or tingling, electricity. But let us know that He's doing something. He's recreating something. And so she's like, now she's like really kind of hopeful that maybe God is going to do something. And I prayed for her for about 2 hours, and I'm just like, man, God, please do something. It was just like, it's a little better. It's a little bit better. How's it doing now? Oh, it's a little bit better. It's like 1%, 2%, 3%, 4, 5, 6. And so I prayed for her hip. Oh, and she tore her tendon in her left ankle. So her ankle's just sitting there. She can't put any weight on it. The doctors tell her, do not put any weight on your leg because your hip is very fragile. There's pins and there's plates in there. And if you put any weight on it, you can cause more damage. They tell her, you're going to have multiple surgeries for the next several years because as you grow up, your body's going to change, and we have to accommodate for that. I began to prophesy to her. I said, no, you will walk again. You will dance with your husband on the day you get married. And I said, don't you ever stop dreaming the dreams that you have in your heart. And she's just like, I'm like, yeah. I said, God has an insurance policy in heaven for these kinds of accidents. And I'm just like, I'm like really like upset with the enemy. I'm just like, how dare you even think about touching a little girl? And so she leaves and her mom tells me, she says, her leg is lower to the ground. That wasn't like that when we came in. She left completely full of hope and saying, God is going to do a miracle in my life. I'm believing for my healing. About a month later, I get an email from Pam, the translator. She says, yes, Raina is doing very well. She still can't put weight on her leg, but she went to the doctor and they removed the colostomy bag. She shared the entire testimony of what God has done to the whole school. Everyone was in tears and were believing for a full miracle. Thank you for praying for her. I was just like, whoa. I'm going to have to jump ahead here. I'm just praying for a second, trying to think where the Lord wants me to go because so much going on. Okay, now I'm going to go outside of the church. In a sense, when I say that, I'm going to say becoming supernaturally natural, or naturally supernatural. I come back from Mozambique, and I'm in the bank where I have an account, and I'm making a loan payment. And I'm not feeling very spiritual. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I don't want to be here. I got to make this payment because I don't want to be, you know, responsible. And so I'm in there, and I'm talking to the lady behind the desk, and she's asking, so how's your trip been? She's just like really excited. She's like, wow, it's so awesome. You get to go on these trips. I'm like, yeah, I didn't really plan it. God just kind of like told me to go, and I went, and money came in and happened. And she's like, huh, okay. And so I'm start praying. I'm talking with her, and I'm like, so how are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, I broke my tailbone on Friday. I'm like, huh. Ding. I'm just like, I'm not getting away from this one, am I, Lord? He's like, nope. So I'm like, okay. So she processes my payment, and she says, do you have any more questions? And I said, yeah. Can I pray for your tailbone? And she kind of looks at me like, sure. And I'm like, no, serious. I want to pray for your tailbone. I go to the school. I've been learning about healing. And I'd like to pray for your tailbone because I believe that God is going to heal you. And she's like, here now? I'm like, yeah, here now. And she's like, okay. Kind of give me that look like, where do you have to put your hands? And I was like, well, I can just sit right here and I can just hold your hands from across the desk. And so I start praying and I said, Holy Spirit, we invite you. And I spoke to the condition. I commanded the bones to come into alignment. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. I said, okay, check it out. And she said, wow, the pain's gone. It's better. I was like, well, better's good. Is it all the way better? And she's like, I don't know. So she stands up and I said, do something that you couldn't do before. Because faith merely needs an action. And so she says, no, I don't want to do anything. I'm too afraid that if I do something, the pain will come back. That sounds like fear to me. And so I said, no, you've been healed in Jesus' name. You can do anything because you've been healed. The pain's gone. She's like, yeah, but I'm so afraid. I'm just like, it's okay. Just do something. Trust me. And she's just like, you better be right. And it took her a moment, and she finally said, okay. And she stands there with her coworkers in the background, which I wasn't even paying any attention to, and they're typing, talking on the phone, typing on the computer. But they stop, and they're like watching her. And actually, no, I take that back. They did not watch her. They were doing something. And she proceeds to bend over like this, looking at me, and touch her toes, and go, the pain's gone! And I was like, praise God! Thank you, Lord. And then I said, tell your coworkers. And she says, oh, yeah, you know, Lord healed me. And they're like, oh, well, we didn't see. And she's like, oh, I'm not doing it again. I'm like, no, doing it again. She's like, okay. And her coworkers look at her, and she's like, the pain's gone. And then she's walking out. She's like, I'm really freaked out right now. This is just weird. This is just freaky. And I was just like, well, the Lord loves you. God loves you. He heals today. That's completely free for you, no charge, and if the pain comes back, you tell it to leave in Jesus' name, and it will leave. And so the next day, a couple days later, I call to ask a question, and she answers the phone, And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And she goes, "Really good." And I was like, "How's your toe bone?" She's like, there's no pain. I'm like, "Praise God." She's like, "Yeah, I went home that night and woke up the next day and the pain came back." And I was like, "Uh-oh." And she's like, "But I remembered you told me to tell the pain to leave in Jesus' name." She said, "I declared my healing and the pain left and it hasn't come back since." Real quick, I'm going to talk to you about Mozambique. Saw a lot of amazing things happen. I went to a village of about 500 people. When we asked them, "How many of you have heard of the Bible?" 3 hands went up. When we preached the gospel message, kingdom gospel, salvation message, 15 people gave their heart to the Lord right then and there. And we said, "Okay, we're going to water baptize tomorrow." And someone raised their hand and said, "What's water baptism?" I was like, "Okay." So we explained water baptism. They said, "It's not taking a bath." And there was a river nearby with crocodiles in it. And we went down the river the next day and we baptized them. And then we said, "Okay, does anybody else here want to accept Jesus?" And 10 more hands went up. So we baptized them and we left. And the night before we came, and we only brought food for about 350 people, and there was 500 people there. A small problem. Now, I was really on my heart. I was like, Mozambique is known for like miracles and multiplication of food. I had heard a testimony, of 2 weeks prior, a missionary going into a neighboring village with a bag of cookies. And he's passing out cookies to the children, and he's digging in his bag, and as he's passing them out, he doesn't realize that God's multiplying the cookies, and every single child in that village got cookies. He's like, "God multiplied cookies. How good is that?" And so I was like, I think God wants to do a miracle. I want to see God multiply the food. So we go to this village, and I hear that, "Oh, we don't have enough food, you know, the team can't eat, and everyone needs to go to their tents," because when the food does not multiply over there, they get kind of angry, and they start throwing rocks and fire and all sorts of stuff. I've heard testimonies like that happen. It's like, well, you know, when you haven't eaten for 6 days, and someone brings food, and it's not enough, and God doesn't multiply food, they get kind of angry. And so we pray and we all go to bed. The next morning, the testimony is the pastor stayed up all night serving food to the whole village. No, I didn't see it. It's not confirmed, but I'm believing God multiplied the food. Jumping ahead to Brazil real quick, because I'm going to end in about 5 minutes. I had the opportunity to preach 4 times in 2 churches. During those 4 days, I saw 40 people come to the Lord. The first night was 2 people. The second night was 5 people. I learned in Brazil, you don't say, "Who wants the anointing? Come up here." Out of 175 people, 175 people came to the front. They're that hungry for God. In America, we say, "Who wants more anointing?" How many of you know that God wants to anoint your life more than you want God to anoint your life? See, no prophet called me out. I got in a position, I was in a place where I got so desperate for God to use me. I said, "God, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Just give me the anointing to preach. Give me the anointing to pray for sick. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I just want it. I want more. I know there's more. There's got to be more than just reading my Bible and going to church and living the good old Christian life. There's got to be more. Randy's message is there is more. Okay. So, I'm in Brazil. I preach. And third night, I'm at the second church. It fits 350, 400 people. They put an extra 100 chairs out to seat 500. 600 people show up. I'm like, ooh, never preached to 600 people before. So I'm praying, and I give the message, and I give the altar call. And 15 people come to the front. And I'm just like, wow. I've never given an altar call message and had more than like 5 people. Prior to that, yeah, no more than 5 people. I'm just like, okay, you know. God's, and they're usually like rededications, and I think most of these people were like first time. So, it's the last night I'm preaching, and I'm preaching on a message about the power of the testimony. And I get to share my own testimonies, what God's done, and give the illustrations and everything. And I give the altar call message, and one person stands up and they come to the front. And then 3 people stand up and they come to the front. And then 2 more people come down. And I'm just like counting down. I'm just like, come on. Jesus is here. I was like, you've seen the miracles. God's love is in the room. And I start prophesying destiny over everyone there. And when it's all said and done, 18 people came to the front, giving their heart, like really giving their heart to the Lord. Almost every single person was on the stage crying. I began to cry because it was like the love of God was so thick in that room. I was just like, God, what are you doing? I gave words of knowledge. It was so crazy that when I gave words of knowledge, I gave a word of knowledge for a lady with back problems. And a lady comes forward and there's like, it's like a mistranslation. And she says, yeah, I have pain in my hand. I was like, oh no, this is on camera. I'm preaching. I'm part of Global Awakening. And I gave like an inaccurate word of knowledge or she misunderstood me or whatever. And I go to tell her, I said, oh, well, just bend over and check your back out. And she's like, no, I don't have pain in my back. I have pain in my hand. I'm like, oh, okay. God, what do I do? And before I could even do anything, she says, but the pain's leaving. And I hadn't touched her, and everyone's there. And I'm just like, look what God is doing. I haven't even prayed for this woman, and she's already testifying that the pain's leaving. God's presence is here. I was like, come now if you want to give your heart to the Lord. And like 3 more people come up. That night, I prayed for a boy who had a tumor in the side of his head. And in order to remove that tumor, the doctors had to sever the nerve to his ear, which caused him to not only go deaf, but deaf for life. There was no way to fix it. He was about 10 years old. And I start praying for him, and nothing's really happening. I said, well, can you tell me what happened? And he starts telling me, oh, I had a tumor. And I was like, oh, okay, tumor. You need a creative miracle. How many of you know there's a storehouse in heaven full of body parts and that God is willing and able to do a creative miracle? And so I start praying, and I was like, well, Lord, he needs a creative miracle. And I was like, God, I just pray. God, we're asking, Lord, you just send a new nerve. Just reconnect the new nerve, or send an angel with a new nerve and just start prophesying. You're going to hear. And I pray for him, and I speak his name, and he turns to me and says, I can hear. And I was like, praise God. And I prayed for him, and then the next night we prayed for him, and he got his hearing back up to like 35 or 40%. Another really awesome testimony is my my team leader goes over to pray for a woman who's deaf and mute. During the service, her boyfriend gets mad and leaves. She's arguing with him out in the parking lot and says, "Well, you can leave, but I'm going back in to see what God has for me." She comes back inside and she starts, ministry time comes, and she starts coming down the front to receive prayer. A team leader finds her and says, "What can I pray for you about?" And the interpreter tells her, well, she's deaf and she's mute. He's like, okay, so he lays his hands on her shoulder and starts praying for her, and she passes out. Well, he's like, that's odd. I prayed for more anointing and she passes out. So he starts praying her, and the Lord bless her, send your glory and everything. She wakes up, kind of sits up like this, legs out, and looks at her friend, who's kind of like a translator, and speaks in Portuguese and then in English and says, "I can speak and hear." And then she looks at her other friend and says in perfect English, "I love you." Her third word is, "Jesus loves me." Her fourth word, "I love Jesus." I was just like, wow. It's like, then there's three people in wheelchairs. Again, I'm not praying for them because like I have people that want prayer and stuff. And like a 14-year-old boy or girl on my team starts praying for a guy in a wheelchair, not really knowing what's wrong with him, and the guy stands up. And everyone's like, I'm like, what's going on? It's like, well, see that guy over there? He was paralyzed from the waist down. Like, wow. Another woman, I think a 14 or 15-year-old girl, was praying for this lady. She had cancer in her hip, and it deteriorated her hip bone. And so she wasn't able to walk. Well, this young girl starts praying for her, and she gets up out of the wheelchair and starts walking. One more person in a wheelchair, I don't know what their state was. I think they were in a car accident, but they walked for the first time in years. I was just like, I started thinking, I was like, Lord, what are you doing? 18 people gave their hearts to the Lord. You did a creative miracle. Three people got out of wheelchairs. A deaf mute spoke for the first time. It's like the power of God was so strong in that room. I was just like, oh man. I saw the sovereignty of the Lord so strong that when I gave words of knowledge, I said, no one's going to lay hands on you. Just going to come to the edge of the aisle because I know faith merely needs an action. And so I said, okay, I call it the word of knowledge. And then I have them come to the edge of the aisle. I said, okay, check it out. And then they're like, the pain's gone. And it's like during the service, I haven't even spoken my message. I'm just doing words of knowledge. And like people are getting healed. I was like, wow, this is awesome. So my heart for Abbott Loop and for the body of Christ, wherever I can go, I've had a great, awesome privilege while I've been here this last month of speaking at some churches and laying hands on leaders and also lay people. And I got to do a 3-day youth retreat and some kids, probably 14 to 18, got touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was really awesome. They experienced God in a new way. And they came back to their church on fire for God. So my heart tonight is to lay hands on people and to impart the anointing that God has placed on my life to your life so that it can have a domino effect because I have to go back to school. We need revival in our community.
Amen.
We can't just be waiting for some man of hour with the power to come to our city and to say, look at me, God's only going to use me, and you're just going to have to sit back and watch. No. It's time for us as people to invade our workplace, the marketplace. I work at FedEx. My boss comes to me one day, pulls me outside of the trailer. I'm like, oh man, I did something wrong. Pulls me outside of the trailer and says, I have an anger problem. Is there something you can tell me of how I can fix it? I'm like, well, and I start telling him this. I'm like, how's that working out for you? Okay. And he's just like, so like, just can't believe what I said. And so I use kingdom principles to influence wherever I go. Because how many of you know that when you walk into a room, when you go into a store, that when the presence of God is on your life, the atmosphere in that room has to shift and change and even move out of the way for the presence of God on your life to enter in? That merely talking about the supernatural activities of God creates a shift in the atmospheric realm to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move and work. No longer do I walk into a room and go, do-do-do-do-do. I go, okay, Lord, so are you doing anything in this room? A guy that I know, Jason Westerfield, he likes to go to Starbucks. And I recently found out that the anointing is in the Starbucks. Now, I know Alaska is known for Kalates, but when they put a Kalates where I'm at, I'll switch to Kalates. In the meantime, I have to go with Starbucks. so he walks into Starbucks, and he's just getting a cup of coffee. And next thing you know, everyone's like the power of God shows up, and he prays for one person, and like people start getting knocked down, and he leaves like with the whole place laid out. But how many of you know when the next day when he walks in there, just trying to get a cup of coffee, everyone's looking at him going,
don't get too close.
What's he going to do, you know? And it's not, he wasn't trying to do anything. He's just being obedient to the Lord and saying, oh, you know, Lord, you love your people so much you want to touch them. In a meeting when a prophet calls out a condition or inner healing that needs to take place, you know, like your mother didn't love you when you were a child and wants you to stand up, and like in a room of 300 people stand up, because granted there's times, but like really the Lord says there's only 25 people here that really need to be touched because of that, and 300 people stand up, and the reason is because everyone wants to be touched by God. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the Holy Spirit within inside of us. God, we ask. God, I thank you for the angels that are here protecting over us. God, I ask for more angels to come. God, I ask for an impartation, a transference of anointing for those that are listening to the tape. God, I ask that now you would transfer the anointing from my life to theirs, that they would begin to feel the power of God in their life, that they would hear your voice so clearly and be able to be obedient and move and walk in the anointing. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do in everyone's life. We give glory to your name, praise and honor in Jesus' name. Father, we ask for more tonight. God, I ask that you would stir up a hunger, that you create a hunger, a holy dissatisfaction in every person's life to desire more, to never be content of where they are with a relationship with the Lord. And God, in those moments when the offense comes or when bitterness comes, Lord, that when our wells would be stopped up, that we would not be consumed with, if it's too much to deal with the issues of the well, God, just that you would give us the grace and the mercy to have a new well dug inside of us. And God, I pray that you would teach us, that your Holy Spirit would teach us how to maintain our wells, how to maintain revival in our heart, that we would be able to influence and impact our region. In Jesus' name, amen.